Good morning and welcome to our church service this morning. We gather in God's name as his community. So even though we're not in the same building, as we're scattered in our homes, hopefully warm on this Sunday morning, we come together to acknowledge that church matters, not the building, but church, as we've gathered but are separate this morning. Church is significant because it's God's way of communicating to our world. It's precious because it's God's community seeking to do one thing, worship him with all our heart. And Lord God, as we come together this morning, that we might worship God as church. Thank you for joining us, whether you're watching live or you're watching later in the week. Thank you for taking this time to acknowledge the significance of church. If you have a prayer request, we say it every week, and please just put it in the comments. I'll draw them all together at the end, and it's a great way of just acknowledging the challenges that we're facing. There's a few pastoral things I'd like just to pray for at the end of our time together, so please do write a comment if you have one. Many know Alan and Megan Barker. Thank you, Leslie, for forwarding an email. They're hoping to get back to Nepal next week. The rules have changed. They have to go into isolation, get tests, and be part of things. So they're due to fly back to Nepal next weekend. So do pray for them as they go and spend some time there wrapping up the work that they've been doing so faithfully in Nepal for all those years. If you've got young children with you, we produce a little children's resource. Whether you use it on a Sunday morning or find some time during the week, and please do have a look, follow the link in our link, and then you'll be able to find it. Just to encourage you, have a look at our website. There's two video resources we're producing. Richard Renouf is doing a Bible study called Roots and Shoots, an opportunity just to spend a focused time delving into Scripture. I've been putting up some short prayer videos. They're going to go up twice a week. You can see those on our website, so have a look. Hopefully there'll be an encouragement between those two things. Next weekend, we're going to be gathering for prayer, and Bismarck is just going to come and share a little bit about our next weekend. So we're going to watch that video now of Bismarck.
Good morning, everyone. It's a great joy for me to share and pray together with you over the next weekend from 6th to 7th of February. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be with them. We are all scattered in our various homes, but united in prayer, and the Holy Spirit is with us. We are in difficult times, but we are not taken by surprise, because the Bible tells us that in the last days things will be difficult. There will be dangerous times of great stress and trouble, difficult days that will be hard to bear. This is the time for Christians to worship in truth and in spirit, being watchful and prayerful. So Jesus, knowing this, he said to us, pray that you do not fall into temptation. We want to encourage you to join us from Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to Sunday evening, 8 p.m. as we pray on issues affecting our church life, our community, our country, and our world. We want to encourage you to sign up for a time slot and pray at home, praying and seeking the face of God for the church and for the world and for God's kingdom to come. You can pray individually, or you can pray as a small group over the weekend. Visit the church website to book your slot and download the prayer material. On Saturday morning at 8 a.m., you can join me online on Zoom for about half an hour as we start the prayer weekend together. It's not compulsory, you just need to join me. I just want to start with you, share scripture together, and we start the prayer weekend together. The Zoom link will be the same as we usually have for our Sunday evening prayers. remember to join us on Sunday evening prayer meeting, pardon me, as we bring our prayer time to a close, sharing the revelations that God speaks to us over the 24 hours of prayer. God bless you, and I'm deeply excited to see you all pray with me this weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Bismarck. I appreciate you leading us in our prayer ministry. Don't forget, do join us this evening at 8 o'clock, where we'll be praying for our nation. And thank you again, Bismarck. Well, we're going to continue our time of worship, and Charlotte's going to lead us in our time of sung worship, and then it'll be Diane and Clive. So let's hand over to Charlotte.
Good morning, everyone. Let's worship together.
Great and mighty, the moon and
Now it's time to join Dinah and Clive.
Good morning, everyone, and how are you doing today? We do hope you're keeping well and keeping yourselves occupied in these lockdown days. One of the things we've been doing is trying to find some different games to play. We found a good game this week. Yes, we did. It's an old card game. Yes, it's very old. It belonged to my mum, and she loved to play this with her grandchildren. That's my children and their cousins. The game is called Happy Families. Have any of you ever played this game? There are different ways of playing. You have to collect four cards that make up a family by asking other players for specific characters to make up the set that you want to collect. But you can also play it where you lay the cards face down on the table and then you turn them over and find those that match your family. And that's how we play, because there's just the two of us. You like to collect the Doe family. And why is that? Because they are bakers. And it reminds you of cake. I should have known. Show them the cards. Okay, so we have Mr. Doe, the baker, Mrs. Doe, the baker's wife, Master Doe, the baker's son, and Miss Doe, the baker's daughter. You like them. Yes, my mum liked to collect the fishmonger's family. Was that because she liked fish? Well, yes, she did like fish, but she collected them because their name was Sol. That's the name of a fish. Yes, it is. But my mum said it was important to look out for people's souls. She knew it was important to see what people were like on the inside, in their souls or in their spirits, not just what they were like on the outside. You like to see how each member of the family is helping in the family business. Yes, the pictures are a bit old-fashioned now and probably not very politically correct. But each family member is helping in some way. So Mrs. Sol is getting the fish in a basket. Mr. Sol is selling the fish. Master Sol is fishing. And Miss Sol is doing the cooking. The painters are all painting. The bakers are all baking. The tailors are all sewing. The chemists are all chemisting. Okay, I think that's enough. We get the picture. There's no need to go through them all, but it's a really important point. Mr. and Mrs., Master and Miss, Mum and Dad, son and daughter are all occupied in some way in the family business. Young and old, whoever they are. That's right. And we are in a family. You and me. Yes, and those at home. We are part of the church. And that is God's family. And as part of the family, we are part of the family business. What is it? God's family business is love. It's about sharing and showing God's love to one another and to those we meet. We are all loved as part of the family, and we should all be involved in the family business of showing and sharing that love with others and inviting them to become one of the family too. So the family is quite big, yes, but God would like it to be even bigger. He doesn't want anyone to be left out, whoever they are. So all God's family should be included in the business. Yes. from the oldest to the youngest. Yes. Everyone has a part to play, whoever they are. Indeed, whoever they are. That means you and me, and it means all of those who are watching. Can we play another game now? Yes, if you like. This time you want to be like my mum and look out for people's souls. You'll collect the fishmonger family. Okay, but we'll say goodbye first. And we'd like to encourage each one of you to spend time this week sharing God's love with those around you, whoever you are. So it's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from Clive, and we'll see you again next time. Have a good week and be blessed.
Evening comes.
Lay tasks to rest.
Thoughts reflecting on the day.
The gifts you give.
The people you trust me with.
What an honour it is.
To work within your plan.
You know my name.
For the work you give me, your strength sustains.
Yet I am more to you than instrument.
I am son, daughter, friend.
In my inmost, knit to you.
Inseparable.
Invaluable.
Loved.
Celebrated.
Heard.
Pursued.
Grace abounding.
Found in you.
My work could not win this gift from you.
Whoever we are, however insignificant we might feel, we all can make a difference in this world because we are on our front lines. But we're on our front lines first as sons and daughters of the King, children of God. Our value, our worth, our significance, and our life on this world flows from this identity. We need to make sure we get this the right way around. Otherwise, we can see our worth in what we do for God and for other people. That might be the outcome, but it's not the starting point. It can be so easy to get them confused. Do you see yourself as a child of God? My prayer is that we might continue to learn what our full inheritance means for us every single day, wherever we find ourselves, whatever we are doing. Whatever task, however menial in front of us, we have an inheritance that means we are part of something much bigger than what we see around us. We're part of God's kingdom here on earth.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to bring you our reading, and it's from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's chapter 6, verses 5 to 14. I'll be reading from the ESV version. Normally say it's in a certain page in the church Bibles, but that probably won't help you. Verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then, like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Amen.
Well, thank you, Chris. We're going to do a little bit of a double act this morning. We're going to think and just share some reflections on the Lord's Prayer as a way of thinking through this reality that whoever we are, however we've been created, actually God has something really special for us. So we're going to take it in turns, just picking up little bits from the Lord's Prayer. But Claire's going to start us off.
Good morning, everybody. So the start of the prayer that our Lord gave us is, Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Approximately 7.6 billion people are alive on the earth today. And it is estimated that 108 billion people have lived on this world. So many. And yet Jesus told us that we are God's children, that we are to know him as our Father. Each and every 108 billion children and counting, beloved by him. It's a good job he doesn't have to do the Christmas presents. He has made each and every one of his children in his image, with his love flowing through us. And as we love those around us, we see the Father's likeness, and he takes joy in his children. Psalm 139 tells us, Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Even your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. When times are tough and storms crash over us, this is our anchor, that as a parent loves their child, we are loved by God, our Father and our Mother. He will never leave us. He will not allow us to be out of his sight. So our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Although we can relate to God as a father or mother, there is still so much of God that is unknown. And I realise that especially when my children ask me questions about God. Recently, when I was tucking Jacob into bed, he asked me why God was invisible as he tried to work out whereabouts in his room God might be. I didn't have an answer. I didn't know. God is with us. God is in us. We are created in his likeness. He is our Father, and yet he is so much more. We try to describe God with words. He is good. He is the creator. He is love. He is holy. He is. I am. That is his name. Yahweh, the name that he told Abraham. Jehovah, meaning I am. He is. That is his name. I am. God is all that is and was and ever will be. He sustains all things. He is holy. And may the name of Yahweh, the I Am, be kept holy.
Thank you. That's why I guess I let you do the bedtimes, all the philosophical questions that seem to appear at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. But your kingdom come, it goes on to say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom come. When we become a Christian, maybe you remember back to those days when you first became a Christian, or maybe you're just exploring your faith now. We can act as though we've enlisted God into our lives. We've enlisted God into our causes, our concerns. However, when we begin to pray this prayer, we're reminded that what's actually happened is that God, through Jesus Christ, has co-opted us into his purposes. We didn't co-opt God into our lives. We are co-opted into his lives. We are to discover where God is working in our world and ultimately join him. That's our role and responsibility. With all the skills that we have, that those around us have, all the loves, all the hates, all the things that make us us, get co-opted into God's precious kingdom. We align ourselves with what God is concerned about. We align ourselves with his way of doing things, and so ultimately glorify him. It's about his kingdom on this world. And of course, his kingdom embraces all things. It's global, it's redemptive, it's liberating. It includes us, but also us in our daily context, in our daily lives. Because what we do every single day matters to God. His kingdom isn't hiding somewhere off in the distance. If only I could run fast enough, get up early enough, go about just the right things, then somehow I would grasp this kingdom. It isn't just over there in the distance. It's right here in front of us, in the hands that wash up, in the typing on the keyboard, in the picking up the telephone, in the conversations in the shops. God's kingdom is not hiding. God's kingdom is present with us. But we can so easily miss it. I can so easily miss it with the distractions of the news, or the distractions of something that shiny that grabs my attention. Because you see, we have to find ways of stopping a little bit, of seeing a little bit. Otherwise, I miss God's voice. I miss God's opportunities to be a part of his kingdom, and instead get so bogged down in trying to make God fit my kingdom. The amazing prayer goes on to say, to give us today our daily bread. We're asked or instructed to pray for such a simple thing as bread, but a life-sustaining thing. In this, we acknowledge that not even the most basic things of our world come to us through our own efforts or abilities. God is the ultimate provider. He is the one who grants to us all that we have. And as such, nothing that we have ultimately belongs to us. Everything that we own belongs not from our endeavors, not that we've ultimately made it happen, but through God's created order, they come about through the technology and advancements that God has given us, through our human nature. But we can ultimately measure ourselves on our possessions, and we treasure and hoard up all this stuff. But the Lord's Prayer teaches us that none of it is ours by right. It all belongs to God. There's something of our self-sufficiency that we might need to surrender before God, and ultimately learn, I'm talking to myself as well, to see God in our want and in our plenty. We might have bread, but we didn't make the wheat grow. We might be able to make the growing of wheat more efficient because we've learned how to do that, but we can't make it grow. Nothing in our hands or our machinery can make that wheat grow. It's in its created and the Creator's will that it does.
Our Lord's Prayer goes on to say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Most of you will know the song "Everybody Hurts" by R.E.M. It's true. Everybody hurts. Sometimes. We are hurt by life, by others, by ourselves. We in turn hurt others. By accident, without knowing, deliberately. We fail, we mess up, life messes up, and we hurt. Everybody hurts. Jesus hurt. He knows the pain, and he came to free us from it. Forgiveness is acknowledging the hurt in others and in ourselves, and allowing Jesus to set us free.
And the prayer goes on, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We can seek security by ultimately believing that we're strong enough. We believe that we can have it all together, but security is fleeting. We acknowledge our building has been broken into twice in the last couple of weeks. We're looking at security measures, but ultimately, if someone wants to get in this building, it doesn't matter how much tech you put in, people can get in. This building is vulnerable. And sometimes we think that we are not vulnerable, that we're strong enough, that we could get through even the most difficult things by our own strength. And strength can be our most highly valued virtue. We can pull ourselves up, we can get over things, and we can just keep going. We succeed. We can succeed by our own strength. We can overcome obstacles through exertion of our own power. But when we sin, when we mess up, we can ultimately muster up and try a little bit harder. Yet the Lord's Prayer teaches us that this is foolishness. That it's not just about us trying to willfully overcome all the difficulties and sins and pains in our world. We have no power in ourselves to withstand anything. God alone has the power to come to our aid. We don't have the power to withstand times of trial or overcome sin. The Lord is our Saviour. We cry out to Him for our salvation. Without His aid, we are helpless. We must ultimately acknowledge our lack of strength. Serving God in our front lines is not ultimately, it's not about us just trying harder, just exerting more effort and energy. It's a learning to allow the resurrection power of God to work in and through our lives as we embrace the things that God has asked us to do. But it begins with a clear sense of identity. We are created by God. We are loved by God. And any role in this world that we have comes from God through His power. I'd love just to pray for us as we finished. Lord God, we thank You for the Lord's Prayer. That 2,000 years later, it still pulls us to the heart of Your kingdom. And Lord God, the challenges that we've shared out this morning, the other challenges that are in that prayer, Lord God, I pray that we would acknowledge that wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, Your kingdom is around us, and we're part of it not through our own efforts, but through Yours. Lord God, help us to understand that afresh this day. Amen. Well, we're going to we're going to watch the LICC video that we watched at the beginning, and the hope is that we'll just use this as a little bit of a reflective reminder. Then Charlotte's going to close our time sung worship. This time the words will appear. Sorry that we missed them the first time round. So the LICC video, again, we're just going to use it as a time of reflection, and then Charlotte's going to lead us. Thank you, Toby.
Evening comes.
Lay tasks to rest.
Thoughts reflecting on the day.
The gifts you give.
The people you trust me with.
What an honour it is
to work within your plan.
You know my name.
For the work you give me, your strength sustains.
Yet I am more to you than instrument.
I am son, daughter, friend.
In my inmost, knit to you.
Inseparable.
Invaluable.
Loved.
Celebrated.
Heard.
Pursued.
Grace abounding.
Found in you.
My work could not win this gift from you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Charlotte, for leading us, and thank you, David, for doing the word. Sorry that I missed it out the first time round. I'm not quite sure what happened there. Let us pray. We've got a few prayer requests on here. Let me just double check that we've got them all. Graham, thank you for sending a prayer about the Centre of Hope. Let's start by praying for the Centre of Hope. Lord God, we pray for Raluca, the social worker from the Centre of Hope, her husband, Sammy and Melissa, their newly born daughter. The pregnancy was a difficult one. As they got good medical care from Italy, I pray that they would know your peace and that they would know the love in these challenging times. Thank you for new life, even born in difficult days. We pray for Alice, now George, but it used to be Everard, as she returns to the front line with the NHS after a few months off being sick. We pray for protection and blessing on her. I also want to pray for Jeff. We've been praying for Jeff. He returned home, then unfortunately had to go back into hospital again. I pray for him that the doctors might help find the right combination that means he can live independently again. Pray for Roy at home. Pray a blessing on him as he just is anxious about Jeff and wanting the best care for him. I want to pray again for Caroline Stout as she soon moves into a care home. Lord God, I pray that you would be her rock in these difficult days, that she would know your peace in the confusing days ahead. And Lord God, I thank you for the good care that she receives. Thank you for a family close by. And Lord God, as we acknowledge other difficulties that we might think of now that might come to mind, other people who are going through challenging times, Lord God, we are all struggling to comprehend the last year. I pray that as we piece things together, as things move forward, help us to acknowledge your kingdom in the insecurities that we face. And Lord God, for the isolated, the lonely, I pray that we would all know your peace and your blessing. Amen. I'd like to finish by praying this prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of this community. We commend one another to you on our different paths. Wherever we are, whatever we do, whoever we are, may the Holy Spirit guide us in all things so that we may do God's will in this world, knowing that out of your will comes a love and a service. Pray that we would do it in Jesus' name and for your great joy. Amen. God bless. Thank you for joining us. We'll be here again next time, same time next week. Thank you for joining us, and God bless you this day.